Page 320. We've done the Rashi and the Mitzvah Stav. Now we'll do the Radak. We're now going to do the Radak on page 321. L'chein v'yafor. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shehakol Nihyeh B'dvaroi. L'chein v'yafor Yan B'yishaschem Aldam on page 321 in the Radak. Because you have stepped upon the poor, B'yishaschem Ein Lemila Azoyz Chaver. There is no precedent, there is no equivalent of this word anywhere in the entire Tanakh. And that the word bo shaschem with a shin. I quoted Rabbi Esk yesterday before you came, is that all the Mepharshim that we learned until now, they say just interchange the shin for a samach. Just like you mentioned in the Shir, right, that a soita in the Torah has a sin, but in the Bavli, in the Talmud, it's always spelled with a samach. So we can interchange these letters. But if we take the pasuk the way it's spelled, the word literally, with a shin, and a samach, and a chof, we do not know the translation of this word, because there is no equivalent of this word in the entire Tanakh.
We have a shin instead of the samach, we have boshesh.
Boshesh, you have two shins. That means to be in, that means to delay. Vayarki boshesh moshe loredes minhar, to delay. Very good, yep. Boses means to samach. That means right. That's what we learned yesterday. Both Rashi, bidomoyich, you're wallowing in your blood, to wallow. So there it means to wallow. But over here we learned yesterday. That's what Rashi and the Mitzvah Stavi did for us. They took the word the shin, and they exchange it for a samach, and that is permitted. Okay, these letters are phonetically similar, which gives you the option of doing such a thing. And therefore, the Messiah, look at the Minchas Shai. What does he say, the Minchas Shai? Is there a Minchas Shai over here? No, I don't see a Minchas Shai in this pasuk. Chazal do it. Chazal, obviously, they have a Messiah to do it, to interpret.
Yeah,
or
no, no, but that's it's not the Chamisha Chumshit.
Okay, it's not clear when you do, when you don't do. I don't know. I don't know. It's a problem. Gesundheit. It is definitely a problem. That is why all of the commentators, they struggle. It's Rashi, he begins, boy shaschem, go back to the Rashi on page 320, kimoy boy saschem. Rashi has exchanged the shin for a samach. We have a new word. The word has two samachs. We know what that word means. That word means to wallow, to trample, to step.
Rashi was 800 years ago?
Rashi was
1,000 years ago.
So he had the Masorah that
Okay, we ask the Mesorah. The Mitzudos, what did he say? In the Mitzudos Tzion, Zelbazach, by Saschem, okay, Inyan Remisa. And he goes a little bit further. And Rashi says the same. Rashi also says, Sha'atem Roimsim, the Roifsim. Roifes means to what? To rip apart. Okay, Roifsim means to rip to shreds. Roifes, to rip to shreds. So, Michal, you call the Pasek Mis by, no, but this is a different word. Mis by Seses. Boy sesas, bossas. There it means a little bit different. It means just to wallow. Wallow means you're rolling to step upon.
Well, you're stepping in something if you're wallowing in it.
Okay. you're saying that there is a similarity of concept. Okay, I agree. Okay, so the Rashi and Mitzudos were very clear that we have to exchange the shin for a samach, but the. Tradition, you don't know. His own. The linear. The linear.
No, I'm asking.
We really don't know. That's the answer.
The other day, how come Rashi, when we were talking about, we always have to say, who said so? You know, we should say, B'shem Omro. Doesn't Rashi have the same, wouldn't he have the same din to say, if he's quoting from Gemara,
he says, the linear. Very often, Rashi, the impression you get from Rashi is he's telling you the pshat in the Gemara, pshat in the pasuk, based upon what he was taught. He was taught by his Rebbe. His Rebbe taught him this. And he has faith that his Rebbe learned this pasuk from his Rebbe.
He didn't necessarily see it written by Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara.
No, there was very little writing at that time. There was very little writing. There were some writings, but it was very little. It was very, very weak. They were writings. They wrote down the Talmud in the 500 years after the Churban. The Talmud was written. That was scandalous. That was scandalous. Torah Sheh Bal Peh, you're not allowed to put in writing Torah Sheh Bal Peh. You think there was a scandal when they published the article Gemara? It was a much bigger scandal to publish the Talmud to begin with. Okay, because you're not, so yet the Chazal got their way. And they won. They won. Everything takes generations. Look, you know, you're learning Daf Yomi now, you're learning Masechta Chulin. What kind of knife do we use to cut an animal today? What kind of knife? We discussed, we had to give a whole shiur on this. We use a steel knife. Okay, there's no such thing today in the world as doing shchita with anything other than steel. We learn the Gemara talks about checking the knife at this edge and this edge and this edge. What are you talking about? You check the sides, and it doesn't make any sense to all Gemara. You know why? Because in time of Chazal, there was no such thing as steel. Steel was invented about 1,000 years ago and not become available to the public until about, I don't know, 500 years ago. It's a relatively new thing. It existed 1,000, but the public did not have their hands on steel until recently. And you know who's the one that instituted that you should no longer use iron? The Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov. It was his idea. You know that it took. They put him in Cherim, and they did all these nasty things because not just because he was a chassid, because he was the first chassid, the Gra, not because that, because Chadosh Asa Min HaTorah. Chadosh Asa. The words of the Chassam Sofer. Chadosh. What do you mean? Innovations in Klal Yisrael. Tradition is you do a shechita with an iron blade. Who gave you the right to go and improvise and use steel? And it took a whole generation until everyone quieted down and it's accepted that this is the way it is. And what's the advantage? When you do shechita with a steel knife, the whole shechita is over before you even start. You give a bird a half a slice, you're done. An animal, maybe one and a half, you're done. Not even. Steel, you're sitting there cutting away. The whole day, iron, you're sitting there the whole day. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. What?
It's heavy. Probably nips.
It's heavy. So what's the problem? What is the advantages and disadvantages of each one? Steel almost never, I mean, iron is almost never nifkam. You almost never ever get a nick in the blade. Once you smooth it out, it's thick. That's why every single Gemara only makes sense when you're discussing an iron blade. There is the center, there's the side, and the other side, that's iron. Iron is thick. Iron is so strong and so thick, it's thick, you'll never get a nick. Once you make a kosher knife, it'll be good for months until you find a problem with it. What's the chasarin? The chasarin is, it doesn't cut so easy. And you got to keep on going back and forth 10 times. And in the process of going back and forth 10 times, you're going to get very tired. So you're going to press down hard. Or you're going to stop in the middle, take a break. And those are two major disqualifications in the law of Shechita. If you stop in the middle for a split second, or you put too much pressure. The Baal Shem Tov says, let's use steel. Steel, no one's going to stop in the middle because you'll be finished before you blink, and no one is going to press down because the knife is so sharp, you don't need to press down. What's the chasarain? It's very easy for steel to get a nick. Very easy. So everything has milus and chasarainus. But the pressure against him was we never did it like this. This is not traditional. We never did this. What are you doing now? What are you doing to us? And yet he got his way. He won. And it's so funny, today we look at the Hasidim, they look at us. What are you wearing? Short jackets. What are you wearing? Doing all these modern things. Chodosh Asa Min HaTorah. They're the ones who initiated Chodosh Min HaTorah by inventing the steel blade. So it's interesting is that, you know, when do you innovate and when do you follow? If in the Alter Heim they did it like this, okay, the Hasidim, they wear the levush, they wear the streimlich, they dress, they do things. That's how they did it 400 years ago. That's how we do it today.
That was Chodosh then.
What?
That was Chodosh when they put it on.
No, when they put it on, that's what they would. That's the way they lived. That was the way Ashkenazi literature also lived like that. Everyone lived like that. What?
It works both ways.
Right. So it's interesting.
The moderns resist the right word pull. Is it? Well, we always did it this way.
The interesting thing is on the accents of the Swedish accent,
the Havara.
It said that people spoke Litvish you know, that accent. And people, when it started to go what they call Galiciana Havara, it was people in the same town changed the accent when it began. It was people in the same area who spoke differently, and it became, it wasn't that way. It's not because they came from hundreds of miles apart and had a different accent. It was people in the same town who started speaking differently. It was put on.
So, all a question. No one is perfect. Everyone has their deviations, their changes. They say, oh, this is after the Messiah.
I read it.
I mean, what does it mean exactly? Any event, you're asking a very good question. Going to the question, Rashi the Pshat and Pasuk, is he telling you his Pshat, or is he telling you what his Rebbeim taught him? Simply, it's what his Rebbeim taught him. And many times, Rashi says, V'li nira. And it appears to me this is the Pshat. I want to tell you my ideas. But what happened in Rashi doesn't say the linira. Rashi just says, so I don't know, it could very well be. Rashi wasn't written in one day. There's a lack of consistency in Rashi. Rashi was written over his entire life, different tekufas, and he revised. There are certain things that are on the second edition, the third edition. There are certain things that are not. Some things students ghostwrited. Okay, there's a lot of questions. Okay, there's a lot of questions about exactly Rashi. He once told me in a very, very powerful Yisoyim, I have Simcha Soloveitchik, and he told me something very, 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 very worthy to remember. And he said, why is it that the Briskas are obsessed with the Rambam? What do they got with the Rambam? What do you care about the Rambam? The Rambam is a gvalt, the Rambam. Go be obsessed with the Torah. Be obsessed with Rashi. They have an obsession. They have mamashin, an obsession with the Rambam. Everything is everything. They wear Rambam tefillin, and the Rambam says this, Rambam says that. They live a world of the Rambam, and the Rambam really, they don't see eye to eye with him.
No, they don't.
I mean, the Rambam's whole mahalach in life is rochak mizrach umayrev from the hashkafa of the Brisker dynasty. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and Rav Chaim Volozhin, you go back though. You know, the Rambam was more like, what we understand about the Rambam, he was more like a Shamshon Fol Hirsch type. Term Derech Eretz. Maybe you want to go say Torah Mada? I'm not going that far. Okay? But the Rambam, he was a doctor. The Rambam was into philosophy. The Rambam was a very worldly person. He was a very down-to-earth. The Briskas, they don't see eye to eye with him on anything. And yet his Torah, they're obsessed with. They don't budge. They don't move one inch without the Torah of the Rambam. So I asked this Rav Simcha Soloveitchik. He's a Soloveitchik. What's going on over here with you? So he told me an incredible Yisoid. And you have to remember this Yisoid. The Yisoid is the Rambam is thoroughly consistent from the first dot of everything he wrote to the last dot of everything he wrote. If you have a Shiloh on Hilchas Shabbos, you can open up a Rambam, on Hilchas, a Beis HaBechira, in about the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Shlishi, and Paskin, Hilchas Shabbos, based upon what he says in the Beis HaBechira, about an esoteric halacha in how you bring a carbon Ashem Tolui. You go find a very esoteric halacha in Ashem Tolui, and you see what he says there, understand the concept. You can take that concept and you can apply it to Hilchas Shabbos. You know why? Because the Rambam is thoroughly consistent. Without any deviation, he was so brilliant, so out of this world, that when he wrote his parish on a Mishnah, anywhere in the Shas, he brought with him Kol HaTorah Kul. There is no one out there that comes anywhere near to this consistency. Rashi is off the charts. Tosfos is off the charts. But they're not consistent. The style of the Balei Tosfos in one Masechta is nothing to do with the style that were written by different Balei Tosfos in different places, even hundreds of years apart.
Right.
Okay? Rashi had a difficult life. Rashi went back and forth, France, Germany, different issues. It was edited. He died in the middle. What does that mean? He died in two places. How many times can you die? He died here, he died there. different editions, revisions. Rashi, Mechilas Kavoidai, Rashi is the Rabban Shel Kol. He's probably the most influential person, more than the Rambam. Okay, Rashi is much more influential than the Rambam, but Mechilas Kavoidai, Rashi is not consistent. He lacks that consistency. The only fellow in the whole world that is consistent, even more than Moshe Rabbeinu, if you could say such a thing. Because I mean, what is Bible criticism all about? From beginning to end,
right.
It's all about inconsistency. That's all it's about. From beginning, you're going to summarize the whole field of Bible criticism with one word. Inconsistency. They believe if there's inconsistency, that opens up the floodgates for chas v'sham, all this nonsense. Yeah. Terrible nonsense. And they have a point, you know, there's a certain point. There is inconsistency. In Chumash, Chamisha, even in one parish itself, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, they got a point. You need to be a maimon. You really need to be, you know, an imam that munah shleimush, a zois ha-Torah, is the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and lo yitein muchlefes. You need a munah to live. The Rambam, you don't need a munah. You don't need a munah for the Rambam. The Rambam is thoroughly consistent. And this is a wondrous advantage you have in when you learn the vastness of Torah. To take a Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira and use it to paskin how you wash your hands, that's unbelievable. You know what that is? The briskas, this is gold. And they're right, they got a good point. And then when he told me this Yesoid, I was blown away. So Yesoid, you cannot forget this Yesoid. I was blown away. Now I understand. I understand what this is all about. The Rambam, why they're obsessed with the Rambam, even though if the Rambam came here to shul today, they wouldn't even give him a second look. They wouldn't. He wouldn't be dressed according to their, the way his whole anhaga, his style of life, no way conforms to their derech in life. But his Torah, it's a very interesting idea. Okay, let's go further. There was once a sefer. If you know what I'm talking about, you probably can figure out what I'm talking about. On the cover, it said Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, and it said the person's name. And someone asked a certain Rosh Hashiva who's a misnaget, okay, who is a he's not my machaneh. We're not on the same machaneh. Can we bring this sefer mechutzaf? Can we bring this sefer into the Beis Medrash? Can we have the sefer? It says Moreinu v'Rabbeinu. So on the spot, without any hesitation, he says, Rabbeinu, yes, Moreinu, no. The Torah is out of this world. But the Hashkafa is not our Hashkafa. Hashkafa is different than Hashkafa. We don't follow the Hashkafa. So it's very interesting. See, today you can't even say that. We live in such a generation of polarized. Today, he wouldn't say that today. Today, I don't believe he would say, can you bring this into the Beis Medrash? He would either say no, or he wouldn't answer. He would just ignore the whole thing. Today, you can't. Today, we live, unfortunately, we're so narrow-minded that we can't even make that differentiation. He's a goyin adir, and his Torah is min hashamayim, but due to circumstance. We don't today, in this generation, follow that Hashkafa. That's what they said then. But today, they don't do that anymore. Today, if you don't hold of the person's Hashkafa, you would never, ever quote their Torah. It's an amazing thing how narrow-minded we've become. Fact. Okay.
The first thing they look at in a Sefer is the Hashkafa.
Right. Well, you get the Hashkafa, you wonder who the... I mean, people look at that for different reasons. Some people, there's nasty people, they're looking to make litzanis. And then there are people who just want to know who he is. I'm entitled. When you buy a book, you're entitled to know who the person is. You want to know, is he a Satma Chassid? You want to know, is he a Talmud of the official world? You want to know where he lives? You read that comments in 10 seconds, you know. From Lakewood, there's a younger man in Lakewood. Okay, I know where he's coming from. You see that he's a Satmar Chassid, all the Satmar Rabbanim. Okay, fine. You see that he's a... You get an enormous amount of information, enormous amount of information, by looking at the haskamas. Just even the letterheads. Forget about what they say. Because usually what they say is just carbon copy, run of the mill. It's just rubber stamped, right? You might as well have a whole. But the one who, the letterhead, it does. I'm telling you, it does. No? It definitely does.
How do you learn an English book, a novel or something? You know who the guy is?
Well, there they know the author. Today the author is, you know,
saying, say,
James Patterson, right?
You know who the guy is. I mean, you have to know who the guy is.
What?
So you have to know
the person. What did you say?
I don't know. If it's Art School Press or Shower Press.
That's another thing. As a publishing company, it also says something. It also, it's the same thing, right? It's a brilliant idea. I work with people and I'm begging them. I use that as a model. Certainly I'm involved with. With Art Scroll, not every book can they publish under the name Art Scroll. It will taint their image. They can't, Beryl Wine's book, they can't go put a picture of the Pope. Okay, big picture of the Pope in Beryl Wine's history book. They're not going to put the Art Scroll logo on that book. They're not. And I understand. I get it. They're not going to do that. They're not going to go put a picture of the Pope and have a picture of the Pope in this history. He obviously wanted to put a picture of the Pope. They're not going to go put their logo on that book. So what are they going to do? So something is brilliant. This is a basic business model. Is they make another label under their name. So that way, first of all, practically speaking, all the money, they get all the money. Okay, number two, they're able to bring, it's just a matter of, I deal with someone, I can't tell you all the details, but I work with someone that's in the Haredi world. They're very, very big. You all know them. You all know if I'll tell you another. And they've come under a lot of scrutiny lately. They became very big. They've really grown, and there's a lot of scrutiny. And now they've become very selective. Very selective in what they do. Because people make trouble. They get this controversy. Mm-hmm. And they don't want controversy. They're not interested in who's in the controversy. But when you're not interested in the controversy and push the people, twist your arm, they twist your arm to let you in, and you don't want them there because you love them, but I don't need the headache on my head. I don't need to go and be you know, cursed out by other people. It's a problem. And they basically now are just rejecting people. And they don't. So I'm begging him, I work with them, do exactly what Art Scroll did. Make another label. You have all the technology, it's all set to go, and there are certain things you can't put under your name, but they're good, and they're a little controversial. It's not going to taint your holy name.
What's the alternate title? Publishing under Art Scroll?
Shower Press.
Oh,
Shower Press. Sure. Oh. It looks like an Art Scroll. It feels like an Art Scroll. It is an Art Scroll. It quacks like an Art Scroll. If it's a dog, it's a hundred and other, but it doesn't say the name anywhere. Art Scroll. It says the word Shower Press. Yeah. He's calling me right now. That guy, he's calling me right now. How does he know that I'm talking? Mama, she's calling. What are the chances? He's calling me right now, that guy. Yeah, yeah.
So I asked him, you know, you saw the Art Scroll tablet. He says, sure, I want to combine it with the Otsar Chachma. Makes sense, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. Art Scroll's very, they're very, I saw they did.
Every industry has the same thing. Heather makes wine without a kosher label on it so they can get more money for the wine. Because if it doesn't have a kosher label, you could sell more.
I don't know how popular the Art Scroll, the electronic version, didn't really take off. Didn't take off. Yeah, not yet. Eventually. They have to redo it. It's too propriety. They made it too much. Gotta be more, it has to be more like fit into the applications of the Goyshe. No. Look, we talk about kashrus. We had a whole discussion. The OU, I think the OU, they have opportunities many times. As I feel very strong about this, same idea, opportunities many times. People come to them, they want to give a heksher, and the OU says, we can't give you heksher because you don't meet our very high standards. Don't get used to, they have very, very high standards. and they're running a world business, and everyone relies upon them. Every kashrus, every Hasidish kashrus organization is basically an OU. So what we have someone who comes and there are problems. But you know something that's kosher? It really is kosher. It's just that in today's society, it's accepted to be machmir. But we can't help you. We can't help you because we don't want to ruin. So it's very simple. Just make another label under the OU name and take them in. You have all of the resources, all of the technology. It's easy as pie for you to take these people in, give them a hechsher. It's a b'diavad hechsher. So you put it under a different name. A different name. And if one day they shape up, you'll bring them into your big name, your OU name. It'll be big, big money for the OU. Let's start practically speaking. They'll rake in the money like nothing. They'll silence all the competition. They won't give opening to other people, you know, to compete and undermine them. And they'll also do a service for Klal Yisrael. Because if they're going to give them a hechsher, it'll be a lot better than when they're going to go to these people who don't have the know-how, don't have the technology, the expertise to know what's really going on. They'll be doing a service for Klal Yisrael, they'll make a lot of money, and they'll keep a control on what's going on in a way that's yosher. It'll be good all around. So why don't they do this?
Why
I don't know.
Did you bring it to
Rakevet?
I'm a nobody of a nobody. If I know this, don't you think they know it? Don't you think they know it? They certainly know. I'm no chacham. They don't know chacham. This thing that I'm talking about now, they became recently in the last 2 years big. They used to be very, they let everything go, and then they got into the news. They had some renegades who ruined it for them.
Right.
Renegades, so
always somebody.
They have to go now and tighten up, and by tightening up, they've insulted quite a number of people who have big tightness on them, and a lot of things are involved. Money is involved, and COVID is involved. And the stability of the organization, other people who want to copy them, it's pashut. Just make another label. You don't do nothing. You have the same workers, the same people. Just make another label. You'll have money. You'll have everything you want. And if things are good, you'll bring them up. No, if someone's no good, you'll send them down.
Says that he spoke to the top OU guys.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand the answer. He said because they said there's not enough gluttony. That's why they can't go into any other shechita business.
I don't understand. What was I say?
There's not enough. Today it's accepted that glatt is the market.
Okay.
Between the Hungarians and whatever.
There are many madrigos today of glatt.
Right.
It's a new thing.
Because they today not supply sufficient glatt to this, they cannot give a hechsher that is not glatt.
Why not?
I don't know. This is their policy because people will
say... You won't give it if it's not done. There is one...
Okay, so give a new hechsher. So what are you going to do? A Hebrew National, right? Hebrew National, was that the whole mindset with Hebrew National?
Yeah, Hebrew National is not good.
So who's giving that hechsher on it?
Rabban.
Okay. I don't want
to... He took it in. He said to bring up the standards of Hebrew National. But...
Okay. Yan, Boi Shaschem, Aldol... There is no equivalent. And therefore, what's the rule of thumb? Well, you don't have an equivalent. You have to translate the word based upon its context. What is the context of this pasuk? Amaschem v'hitrachtem, which means corruption. You're in trouble. Okay, amaschem. What does it mean? Amaschem. Amaschem means it means money. Russian of mem samel is a mass, a tax. Ayin means to extortion. It means extortion and to trouble people, to make people to make people uncomfortable. So therefore, it's a whole new translation. L'chein therefore yan b'yishaschem aldol. You have stolen from him. You have robbed him. Thank you very much. I can't do much out of the flood.
this is talent.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so there is a you have a extortion. V'itrachtem. Itrachtem means you've troubled. You've given the runaround. You've given the runaround. The poor people, leave them alone. Don't go and make their life difficult. I mean, that's the better word over here. You've made the life difficult. They're poor. You hear what we read in the map. I don't know if these stories are true, but they have you read the story every week. You'll read a story like, if you have time to read. I don't have time to read anymore. If you have time to read the magazines, every week. I went to bring my child to yeshiva, I was humiliated. I had to bring in my tax return. And the administrator sat with me and he went through my tax return line by line. In order, because I want a discount on the tuition. So, that's what it says. So the guy is poor. You know he's poor. So what are you going looking at this tax return for? So you say, I don't think he's poor. I think he's baloney. I think this guy has a lot more money than he claims he has. But sometimes you talk to know people are poor. You don't have to go and go and rub it in. Look, Nava Minsky, you know, he's made it, one of the conventions, he says, if a guy comes to you, to shul, with tzetlach, you don't have to harass him. And you're only planning on giving him a dollar. Don't harass him. Don't make an FBI investigation if you're only planning to give him a dollar. If you go and you have rachmanis and you want to give him $100, you can talk to him, feel him out. Is this guy a fraud? Is he for real? But the guy, he is humiliated to the degree where he's a schnorrer. You're only giving him a dollar. So why do you have to go rub it in? You have to rub it in. Give him the dollar and get lost. Leave me alone. What?
I was an accountant.
Then you encourage him.
I was an accountant. The tax return you showed to
it's
him.
It's not your problem to encourage him. That's not your problem. It is what it is. No. It is what it is. Look, he lo yechdal evyoin. You can't change the world. Ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev har. It's a pasuk. There'll always be poor people. If you'll go, you'll solve their problems. When people come around, the next day there'll be a whole new collection of people who have new problems.
I was an accountant. If he's a rich guy, the tax return they show to the yeshiva, it's not the same tax return they show to the IRS. Absolutely. They want to see a W-2 form. So you get one and you make one out of it.
Wow.
This is not fun today.
That's a real Kiddush Hashem.
What?
Real Kiddush Hashem.
What?
This, perpetrating this kind of fraud where...
Many of these people are victims of people who put them in this situation. They're victims, yeah. They're victims. They were brought up. You can't make a parnasa, you can't get education. They're victims. No, they're not victims. These people. I mean, why didn't your parents teach you? You know, be responsible for yourself. Get an education. Get a job. Do something. You shouldn't have to be a collector. What?
One of the father's responsibilities.
Mulam umnas. So they're stuck into this miserable life. I wouldn't trade with them for a billion years to be stuck in their position. So and in a chanami, it's all fraud, I know. Half of it is fraud, whatever it is. If you only give them a dollar, give them 50 cents, you don't have to rub it in and curse them out. And tell them you're a fraud and you're this. Why do I have to support your children? Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to give them a big matana. All right, then you're entitled, maybe, to curse them out. If you give him a quarter, mind your own business. No?
Logically, you're wrong.
Okay, he disagrees.
The tournament says you don't ask. It's mashman that all year you do ask.
A ganz your freilich. Let's go weiter.
Don't give him anything.
It does.
Why would you give him anything? You could daven like a human being and not be harassed.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about after davening. I'm talking about not during davening. That's usser, okay?
Oh, really?
During davening. Not talking about during davening.
I had to chase a guy. I went to a chasen. There's such little boundary that during, in the chuppah, right before the chuppah, a guy's walking through the room.
Stalker, mat, filim,
you
under the chuppah. Right before the chassan. The chassan gives, right before the chassan gives the kal the tabas. Shnor says to the chassan, stalker, tat, filim, what's so funny?
The mokach was against saying that.
It's Osir. You know why it's Osir? You know why it's Osir? I saw Beferish in Svan. Leilu Rosh. Because you imply it's Osir for a Shnorah to say to Levaya. It's Osir, Alpi Halacha, to say to Levaya. First of all, it's disgusting. That it's disgusting. Many of us are totally immune to this.
Yeah.
We're immune to this.
We are immune to this.
So I remember the first time, I like a kid, I went to a Levaya, and the guy was screaming there, Stalker, Tassel, we bought this. I thought the guy was so rude, so insensitive. Get out of your mind? That's what you do by a little. People are crying. They're so distraught. What kind of sugar? Now, unfortunately, I'm already brainwashed. I'm already desensitized. But you know, people come to Levayas. It's not only from Flatbush. There are people, when Rachman someone dies, people come in from other cities, other states.
Yes.
And I saw recently by Levaya, there was a woman I saw, and the guy there, the Schnarr, was there. Stalker, Tatsumi Mothers. And there was a woman who was not from New York, from out of town, who came into the Levaya, and the expression on her face was like none other. And she's right! She's 100% right. It's not Derech Eretz. Besides Derech Eretz, there's another issue. It's Ostopi Halacha because Loyeg L'Rosh. What you're basically saying is, if this guy, you had a funeral now, if the people here would have given tzedakah, if you all, a bunch of people, would have given tzedakah, and if the mace would have given tzedakah, you wouldn't be dead. So now, you know, why don't you protect yourself from the next Levaya? Who's next? Yeah. You're saying, you know why this happened? It's because you didn't give tzedakah, and that's why you buy a Levaya. It's Loyeg L'Rosh. Loyeg L'Rosh. You're mocking the dead. It is also. It's not their Cheretz. It's not their Cheretz. And it's also. But listen, what do you want? There are a lot bigger problems, right? So what are we going to go?
You got to start somewhere.
Rabbi Beryl Wine says, Ashrecha, fortunate, is the Rav, is a rabbi, who at the end of his career still has some arrows left in his quiver.
Right.
no way to fight. There are things that's kedai to fight about, and there are things...
Choose,
pick your battles. Exactly. Obviously, no, the Rabbanim are not so worried about this. Okay, we have to have a munas chacham to some degree. A little bit.
I just want to mention something that you spoke about recently, concerning with tzedakah. So if you give to someone who needs it, who you know will give later on, then you're doing a chesed to that person. If someone you know is a rachmanis, you give it to tzedakah and you know that they're not going to give to anyone else.
You never really know. You really don't know when you give tzedakah.
You're doing tzedakah to someone who's down and out, who you feel that later on
would...
Look, you really don't know. When people come around and come, you really don't know. You really don't know. You don't know who's honest, not honest, really. There's no way to know. Okay, right. So here we have a new pshat. It's a very powerful pshat. He disagrees with Rashi and the Mitzudos. He says, don't go tamper with the tradition. Okay? If we have a Messiah, there are doctors saying, don't tamper with the word. If the word doesn't have a samach, no one told you to put a samach in the word. Don't tamper. Therefore, there is no precedent. Okay? So there's no precedent. So what does the word mean? Context. What's the context? The context of this pasuk is you are mistreating poor people. What are you doing to them? You are troubling them. You're rubbing it in. Don't rub in to a poor person that is poor. Don't trouble them. Then he goes, Yonis Amtirgim Abeis, Shimush. The base is a shimush, which means a prefix, which means v'lo yitochin. Now that means the Targum translates. Let's go to the Targum. B'chein chalaf in exchange b'mi vaschoin. You mevaze. Okay, mevaschoin aldol. He's translating. It means is that you disgrace. You it's a whole different translation. You are disparaging the poor. Rashi says it means to step on. Mitzudos, Radak says it means to trouble, to steal, to trouble. He's saying it means to disparage. Okay? And it seems like also Mitzudos and Rashi say the same thing because they also take the beis. Everyone is taking the beis except for the Radak as a prefix, not as being part of the shoresh. So if it's not part of the shoresh, then what is the shoresh? Shin, samach, chof. So then it's going to be two samachs. He says it's incorrect. And therefore he says that Shashem, I think he's going back, he's learning, if you take out the base not, is the prefix, I think he's explaining over the Targum, then it means to despise. You despise the granaries, you despise my inheritance. The miskena means the poor. Okay, that means miskena means, that's a translation of the word ani. A miskon. Miskain is a poor person. You despise the poor. Okay, so he's saying that he disagrees. The Targum, and as well Rashi, the Mitzudos, the Beis, is not part of the Shoresh. The Shoresh is Shin Samachov. They take the liberty to translate it to mean, well, the Targum says we do have a Mukafis. And that is, it means to despise. Despise. Rashi in the Mitzudos says, no, it doesn't mean despise. It means to step upon. It means two samachs. Shosas, two samachs. Shoshach. Now he brings, and he has his Pshat Radak, and here he quotes his father, which he does very often, V'adoni avi zal perish, ki ashin b'mokim samach. This is exactly what the Mitzvot and Rashi did. He exchanged in samach, k'moy uvoyleis, shekemim. We exchanged the sin, shekemoy boleish, with the shin. Miturgam v'ayichapes, it means to search. V'ayichapes. Uvilash, v'amilu mokar mibinyin poyal meruba, b'saschem. Now he explains what's in the word. Then if you go exchange the shin for samach, Bepeles, in the same grammatical form of koinantem. Vinyin amil inyin remisa, kemove al horai, avusen, I'm going to chill upon the mountains. Okay, so this is how he learns. He basically come away over here with a few perushim, let's go further. Umasas partiku mehem, mashi yoga venosa al kisefai, meatfuwa lebesai, lichyai spa, with the poor man, when he toils and he carries on his shoulder to take home to live with, atem tiku oi samyoni, you'd steal it. Lefishuhu, oni vein loy koyach, there's no one to defend him. That is the essence of an ani. The ani doesn't necessarily mean someone who's poor, he has a few dollars in the bank. The mahus, you get this impression over and over again. The mahus of an ani is there's no one there to defend him. He's vulnerable. A person who doesn't have anyone to stand up for him is an ani. A vulnerable person, you have a lot of money, but someone's going to steal my money and no one's going to defend me. That makes the person into the definition of an ani. It doesn't just mean not having money. It means being vulnerable. Maya on Shrem Alzeh, Shetavoizu Besa Ani. What is the punishment? Alzeh, Shetavoizu Besa Ani. You despise the poor, or you despoil, you steal their wealth. The pasuk goes on to say, Bate Gozis Benisem Velo Se Shubam. The buildings that you have cut from hewn stone, you will not live there. They will be destroyed. You'll be exiled. Chemed does not mean delightful. Chemed means loisach moid, kavet. It means the homes that you have acquired illegally because you had a desire to acquire them because you violated loisach moid. Ugezaltem oisam no'anim al derech shamar v'chomdu sodis v'gozelu. Okay, that concludes Radak. Let's take a look at the Malbim. Malbim, pasuk yud al v'chein koyamar Hashem im Kiim, how you shame him, Tehaha, how you mountain will come, Adain Ula Yeshuvu, Avlachash, ain't tick for Yeshuvu, goes Hashem Yamar. So here we're at a state, according to this possible in the Malbim, is where there is no more hope. It's over for you. We are now going to bring upon you punishment. Yan, by Shaschem Aldol, the Ali de Masha Atem, Boisism, he's learning Pshak Possit like Rashi and the Mitsudos. You step and you trample upon the poor. V'shoisim esadal al yidei zeh masas baratichu mimenu u'minachomas hazeh she'atem toichem b'tzu adal bote gozis b'nisem l'chein l'osei shubam l'chein minachomas she'atem b'yisim esadal karmeichem enitatem v'lchein l'osisu es yeinam ki telchum agoyla v'zeroy l'cham midah k'negin midah. Okay, pretty straightforward. Period. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk yud beis. Ki yodati rabim pish'eichem v'atzumim chatoseichem. Hashem says to Amos, I am aware that your sins are many and mighty are your chatois. What is the difference between a pesha and a chait? A pesha is a chait that's done b'mezid and a chait is a chait that's done b'shoigeg. I know that there are many. Those people who are enemies, the enemies of the tzaddik, the word soirer is like Haman was ish tsar v'oyev Haman hara hazeh. The Mitzvah of David, Tzitzir, yeah. What? Sorry, those people who are the Tzorei Tzadik, they are the enemies of the righteous, Leche Chofer, they take for themselves, ransom or bribes. They take bribes, the Evyonim Bashar Hitu, and the destitute, they corrupt, they turn the din, they lean the din against them in the court of law. Let's see, you based on the Mrs. David. Rabbim Peshechem, Asher Peshechem, Rabbim Mechadasechem, Hema Chazokim, Atem, Tzorim is a Tzadik. V'lechem Chayfer Liftar Me'oinesh Misa. As Hamachui, you take ransom. He learns a little bit different. I told you, you take a bribe, really ransom, not to kill the guilty. Luvashar, Mikoyim HaMishpat. Shar is always a code word for the Bezdin. Matim Dinam Avyoinim, you corrupt the judgment of the poor. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis, Tzorei Tzadik, Mi'ikin le'zaka. Mi'ikin means to torture. The people who torture the righteous, they take bribes. Bashar hitu, b'sharei bote dinechem, hitu mishpat evyoinim, in the courts, you corrupt justice. Okay, that's it. Radak, very quickly, Radak says, Pasuk Yud Beis, ki yudati lo sachshu, ki ein ni neni roya av yodim ha'asech maroyim, ki akol kol yodea, yashrechat shetikku b'asesu l'tzorat tzadik b'dinoi, ulohara loy b'alvur, hashrechat shetikachtem b'asesu v'akofer, shetikachtem b'alat l'arosh v'yadu b'al dinoi, shu tzadik b'mishpato, v'yir b'shar yitu, kol yinim kim l'tzorat kim l'tzorat kovaiter, very straightforward, exactly like the parish of the Rash and Tzudos. Now let's see the Malbim. The Malbim is a bit more elaborate. Okay, I'm losing my voice very quickly. Maybe I should call it quits. I should go to Chumash right away. What?
Maybe you should do that and then earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Switch around.
All right, let's stop here then because I don't know if I'm going to make it. So let's stop over here. We'll do now Chumash. We'll take a short break and we'll do some Chumash. The full form. I mean, in this case, it means the full form. Sometimes they have a word, it's not its full form, it's partial. What? Shnayim? Oh, you started on the scene? Wow.
Oh, got it. Okay. Because,
yeah.
They used to write it.